Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Kate Spencer.
And we are not experts.
We are just two friends who like to talk a loot about serums.
Are you from Canada?
I don't know why it came out that way. I've been watching a lot of Canadian programming.
You have. I mean, they don't say a loot, but they say a boot.
They do say a boot. Well, my children, I've been watching Schitt's Creek, as we all know, and I will not talk too much about it today. But my children are obsessed with a show on PBS Kids called The Odd Squad, and that's Canadian.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Odd Squad's really fun. I was watching it with them this weekend. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, the whole family is just getting in on our programming from our neighbors to the north.
Our government subsidized programming from our neighbors to the north.
We thank you, Canada.
Yes, thanks, Canada. So actually, speaking of programming, we wanted to talk today about some of the stuff we've been into pop culture wise lately.
Yeah, the serums on our television, if you will.
Sure.
Does that make sense, right?
Yeah.
Our mental serums?
Yes, our psychological
our
serums.
Entertainment serums.
Keep going.
You have to keep making terrible comparisons that don't work. We've each compiled a short list of what we're consuming in popular culture right now.
Yeah.
And they overlap a wee bit, but for the most part, not really.
Yeah.
There's one overlap.
We're our own people.
Shocking. After doing this podcast for a long time, we still managed to have separate interests.
So weird.
Tell me about your book pick.
Okay.
Let's just jump right in.
Let's just do it. So the book I picked is called The World According to Fannie Davis. And it is the true story of a woman named Fannie Davis, who in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in Detroit was, she ran a numbers game. And a numbers game is like an underground lottery that, especially in the Black community, was a way for people to, when, for example, when there's a lot of housing discrimination and other things that were not open to Black people, numbers was a way of making some money and also then having other economic opportunities. It is by a woman named Bridget Davis, and it's fascinating. It's like both about her mom's life, but also about Detroit and race and the way the economy changed and housing discrimination. And it's really interesting. I'm really into it.
Very cool. Where did you first hear about it?
Okay. It's funny you ask. I heard an interview with the author on the Criminal podcast.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And I was like, that's fascinating. And yeah, and the book is great. So I highly recommend it.
I am listening to a book.
Okay.
That probably everyone has already read.
I have not read it.
Well, then I'm going to give you a hot tip here.
Great.
Do the audiobook.
Okay.
Because the book I am currently... Well, let me say this. I finished my 7-part series about the book about the fairies fighting to save the world.
Oh, Did you have some sadness?
No. By book seven, I was like, I need to exit this world. Book six was like my favorite. And then book seven, I was like, oh gosh, I get it.
Yeah.
I just want to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
Just it's a lot. And I did it a lot in a short period of time.
But when she comes out with book eight, you're going to read it.
Well, she has a new adult series that's coming out in 2020, I think. So, or maybe later this year. Anywho. I have had my copy of Becoming by Michelle Obama sitting on my bedside table since the day it came out.
Okay.
And every day I look at it and I'm like, hi, Michelle. She looks so warm and lovely and inviting on the cover. And I pick it up and I read like two pages and then I like ultimately fall asleep. And that is because audiobook has kind of taken over for me because I do it. You know, I will listen when I walk the dog, when I'm driving, when I'm doing dishes and making lunches at night, when I'm walking around picking up the house. Like, I have to multitask with my entertainment. So I finally was like, I really wanted to commit to reading the actual book of Becoming. It's not happening. It's moving at a snail's pace.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the one Audible credit that was lurking in my little Audible account.
Oh.
And I bought the audiobook of Becoming. And it is amazing. And of course it is because Michelle Obama is reading her own book and telling her own story. And it's just so it just is so moving and compelling and wonderful. And I love it. I love like putting her into my earbuds every night.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. And I'm now moving through it really quickly. I want so badly to commit to reading, but truly where I'm at in life right now, I need to supplement with audio.
Kate, you met yourself where you are.
I did, and I'm better for it because I truly think listening to the audiobook version is like possibly even more entertaining than reading. I don't know. Just hearing Miss Michelle read it herself is so satisfying. So there you go. If you haven't read Becoming yet, try the audiobook.
I'm down. I have never successfully listened to an entire audiobook.
Well, your life is about to change.
Yeah.
And you might find that audiobooks become something you rely on.
Totally. I'm open to it.
I can't wait. Anyway, it's great. It's so good. Moving on.
So I also wanted to talk about a podcast that I've been into. It is a true crime podcast, but it's not exactly the same as like some of these true crime podcasts that are... It's not sensationalistic.
It's not gory?
No, it's not really. So far, it hasn't really been gory. And it is also from our neighbors to the north.
Wow.
It is a CBC podcast.
I mean, look, shout out. Y'all are making
shout
some
out to Canada.
Tent.
It is called Uncover. They're now in season three. And this season, they are looking at a serial killer who was targeting gay men in Toronto. You may have heard about this.
I think I've heard about that case.
Yes. So it's very tragic and sad, but the podcast is, I think, really well done and sensitive and not, like I said, not sensationalistic. So
have you listened to the other two seasons as well?
I have not. The first one was about Nexium, the cult.
Oh, I listened to that.
Oh, okay.
It was great.
Yeah. So I haven't listened
to
it. I downloaded it and then I like never listened to it.
Got it.
And then I forget what the second season was.
Oh, they're already on a third season.
I know. They're moving very quickly.
Wow.
Those Canadians.
Again, we really admire you.
Their work ethic. It's really. And then I also wanted to shout out an episode of a podcast, which is it's the Startup Podcast, and it's called Alex Talks to a Tragedy Expert. And the host of the show talks to a guy who figures out the settlements for families whose family members have died in horrible situations, such as 9/11.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What an intense
It's super job. Intense. The guy is fascinating. And yeah, at one point towards the end, Alex says, like, what do you enjoy about the job? And he says, nothing. I don't enjoy the job.
Why does he do it?
I think because he does get like gratification from the job. But it's not something he enjoys.
Right.
So check out that episode. The Startup Podcast is great. Some of their seasons I think have been better than others, but this episode is really, really well done.
Holy moly, that mm-hmm. sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I've never listened to Startup.
Oh, you should.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will. When I'm done with Becoming, yes. I'll listen to that episode.
What about you? What else is on your plate these days?
Okay, I have a new
app. Your pop culture plate.
Well, I have a new app that I've been using.
Oh, really?
You may have seen me experiment it within the Forever 35 stories.
Have.
It's called Clip-O-Matic, mm-hmm. and it provides captioning on your stories. So they're more accessible. And it's really great. Now, the first time I used it, it garbled everything I said and didn't get it right. But then what I have been told by a lot of people who use it is that it begins to learn.
It gets used to your voice.
Yes. And it is essentially intuitive. And so I just was using it again recently and it got everything right.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying your Clip-O-Matic captions.
I think, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the first person I kind of had followed who was really yeah. consistent about using captions. And I don't know if that's the same app that she uses on her Instagram. I think it might be. But I think it's really great. And I believe I paid for it. I'm trying to recall. I believe I paid a small amount for it. I'll go back and double check.
I'm going to download it.
Yeah, it's definitely really useful.
Cool.
And it's very easy to use. You record in the app and then it just saves it. And then you just pop it into your stories.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, I really like it. And so people are, whenever I use it, I get a lot of asks about where it comes from because Instagram, as far as I know, does not have those capabilities yet. Like you could write your own caption, but this also updates as you're talking.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, it's really great. So that's my new app tip.
Into it.
You know what? Today I'm a tech journalist.
Well, I also have an app tip.
Oh, yes. Share this one.
So
this is good.
This kind of goes under movies, but I recently posted on Instagram. I could not believe that Netflix has no Katharine Hepburn movies.
Not a single one.
Not a single one. It was like, you might try these other movies. And it was like the most random list of movies like you've ever seen.
That have nothing to do with Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah, that have nothing to do with Katharine Hepburn or each other. They have very few classic movies on Netflix. They don't even have, you can't even like search a category of classic movies. And the other day I was jonesing for a classic movie. And so I posted this on Instagram and a couple people, including our mutual friend, Danielle.
Hello, Danielle.
Were like, have you tried the Canopy app? And I said, no, I don't even know what it is. And they told me about it. And so I downloaded it and it connects to your library card. So you can rent, quote unquote, for free up to 10 movies a month.
That's a ton.
For 3 days. You can rent each movie for 3 days. And they have such good movies. Yes, Kate.
So is it connecting specifically to the LA Public Library or is
yes.
it library kind of a more universal?
I think your library has to participate in it.
I see.
But then I think once you're in, I believe it is a universal catalog.
And you had to enter like your ID number from the library.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. But I mean, especially I think if you're into classic movies or sort of like high art movies, independent movies, they have a lot of stuff. I was really impressed with their catalog.
So I had never heard of this and we were texting about it. And then yesterday I went into our Apple TV and was scrolling around and we have it. My husband must have put it on.
Yeah.
And they have they also have great kids programming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So.
So, yeah. So we have a smart TV. It's like an Android TV.
Okay.
So I was able to just go into the Google Play.
What did you watch?
App Store. Well,
sorry to interrupt. I just realized we never found out what Katharine Hepburn movie you chose.
I didn't end up watching a Katharine
all that.
Hepburn movie. I watched, like half an hour of a 1931 movie called, I believe it's called The Front Page. A classic journalism movie. Yes. It's about Hildy Johnson. It was a little hard to follow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And like took a long time to really get going. And it was a lot of like very fast banter back and forth. I had to like put on the subtitles.
Like in that kind of like 1930s way.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest, I got a little bored and so I stopped watching it. But I was impressed that they had it.
That's great.
That I could watch it.
Well, also, what a great option for affordable entertainment.
Totally. Totally.
Especially in a world where we're now getting Disney Plus.
I mean.
And all these other freaking apps.
I know. I mean, it's just like we're soon people are going to be like, can't we just bundle all of these? And then it's like, we're back to cable.
I know. I was thinking that. We're going to be paying like out the wazoo for all these different apps.
Yes. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
So, So Canopy app. So what is this movie that you're into? I don't even know it.
It's a really cool Japanese animated movie called Mary and the Witch's Flower.
Mm.
My 8-year-old turned me on to it because we had a little family movie night situation.
Cute.
But it's an animated movie I would enjoy on my own.
Okay.
It's beautifully shot. I loved the story. The pacing is more I don't want to say soothing, but I find animated movies to be cut. They're edited so quickly. It often feels jarring. And this was just like it gave you time to kind of understand what was happening, like take in the surrounding. The pacing was just really fantastic. I loved it.
Great.
And the story was incredible.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It was really fun. It's on Netflix. It's dubbed in English. I think Kate Winslet actually does one of the voices. Yeah. Okay. So it's dubbed over on Netflix. I think it came out like in 2017, 2018.
Cool.
Highly recommend.
Great.
I will say one caveat. My younger child, if you do watch it with children, my 6-year-old was scared.
Okay.
But she made it through. But my older daughter loved it. I would watch it on my own without kids.
Okay.
Fantastic. There's a bunch of stuff I'm consuming on Netflix right now. Can we move into the TV section? Oh, no. Can we move into the TV section
of
this chat?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chat?
Sure.
So have you watched Dairy Girls?
No.
I think you would love it.
Really? Okay.
I don't know. I mean, you say that like you don't think you will.
I watched the trailer and I was like, I feel like this is a thing I should love. The trailer didn't grab me.
Okay.
But I have heard so many people be into it that I think I should give it a shot.
I've just started it because I needed something after Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And it's really entertaining me. I love it.
Okay. I'm going to check it out.
But then on the opposite spectrum of things, also on Netflix, I've started a show called Black Summer.
I don't know this show.
Oh, boy. Okay. Bear with me on this.
Okay.
Do you have a fake thing, like a pretend thing that you're actually really scared of? Like for me, it's zombies.
Oh.
Like I think about zombies and I get scared even though I know they're not real.
Oh.
Do you have anything like that?
I don't
think
I have a thing like that.
Well, I had to stop watching Talking Dead.
Okay.
Because
Walking Dead.
Oh yeah. Talking Dead I could watch the whole time. Because it scared me so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like love this idea. Like I love dystopian, like the world is ending and the country's in a panic and zombies are winning kind of content. So thanks to this new show, Black Summer, I'm now back on a zombie kick. And it's a zombie show about people trying, like the zombies have infested America. People are trying to deal with it. And it's terrifying. And I had to watch it in the morning.
I will definitely not be watching
this.
I don't like scary stuff.
I'm not normally drawn to scary stuff either. And I was actually eating while I was watching it. Okay. And I was so scared. My heart was racing so much, I stopped being hungry,
oh my God.
Which was bonkers. Like, that's not my life.
Right.
So it is really scary. But if you like a kind of like nail bitery, you know, I don't know if it's going to like win awards, but it's definitely kind of a satisfying scare show.
Okay. Great.
And I believe it just came out very recently.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're also watching Killing Eve.
Well, yes. The next season of Killing Eve has just come out.
Yes.
I mean, if you haven't watched Killing Eve, it is gory. There's a lot of blood.
So I actually never finished the first season because I loved the show, but it was so much.
It's a lot.
But then I read the book.
And did you enjoy that?
The book is not that good. They really, made something amazing out of some sort of meh source material.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. because I did that with Game of Thrones. I read all the books, mm-hmm. even though the show was just like too intense for me.
I had
after
to stop the show
seasons.
Too. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, maybe I'll read the book. And the show actually diverges quite a bit from the book. So it was interesting.
Did you read the whole series?
Well, there's only one. They're coming out with another one.
Wait, there's only one Game of Thrones?
Oh, no, sorry. Oh. I thought you meant Killing Eve.
Oh, no, no, no.
There's five.
Okay. And you read them all?
I've read them all.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so that's where I'm at. But, you know, I am rewatching Schitt's Creek. Like, I just restarted it. Okay.
Well, I have recommended this show before, but I just want to re-up Better Things.
I need to watch it.
And remind everyone that you should really be watching this show. It's on FX. It's in the FX app. The first two seasons are also on Hulu. So just watch it. Everyone.
Okay.
Okay. Just do me that favor.
Just turn off the zombies and watch.
Thank you.
Better Things.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's what I've been. And, you know, other than that, I'm still slogging through Call the Midwife. There's like eight seasons or something.
I like how we have our old standbys.
Totally. Well, it's like, okay, if I like either don't know what to watch or I just need something sort of comforting, I'll just turn on Call the Midwife.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also thinking on my maternity leave, I might rewatch The OC.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Doesn't that sound like a great idea?
Well, I've never watched The OC.
What?
Haven't we talked about this? I've never mentioned this one before.
Oh my God. We might have to do a mini podcast of us watching The OC together.
That would literally be very fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Let's at least do the pilot and see where it takes us.
Totally.
I've never watched
it. Oh my God. I can't believe you never watched it, especially because I know you watched Laguna Beach.
I know. It's a very on-brand show for me. I love Laguna Beach.
Kate, The OC.
I mean, there's an episode of Laguna Beach where they are all gathered at a friend's house and watch The OC.
It is so good. I really hope it holds up on the second watching.
Do you know where you
15 years later or whatever?
Do you know where you can watch it? Like, where is it available for downloading?
It's on Hulu.
I'll be over the second the baby's born to record our new podcast. What should we call it? The Do-si? Like Dory, but Do-si? No, we'll work on a pun.
Nope.
Who are the characters we root for? Misha Barton's person.
Yeah.
Then the blonde guy.
No. Well, Ryan.
Ryan.
Oh my God.
Olivia Wilde.
Why am I blanking on everyone's name? Seth Cohen.
Right. That hot brown haired guy who's married to Leighton Meester now.
And Summer is Rachel Bilson.
Oh, Rachel Bilson's on this show. Okay.
Rachel Bilson, who I think actually looks a lot like Leighton Meester.
Yes.
So it's confusing.
It's all full circle.
Now, we both put down the same person for music.
Yes.
But I posted it with a caveat.
Go for it.
Which is music that I feel too old for, but enjoy anyway.
You're never too old. You're never too old.
I guess not. But, well, we both put down Billie Eilish.
Who is a cool teen.
A very cool teen.
From Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. I mean, she is 17 years old.
She's got a fantastic voice.
And her music is amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I was just
like, she dresses like a fun Muppet.
What can I say? I like her stuff. And then the other band that I also feel way too old for, but also enjoy is BTS.
They're adorable.
They're so cute. And they dance.
Yeah, they're fun to watch.
You know what? Like, I have to say, I know you love One Direction.
I do.
But like, they don't dance.
That's like part of the reason why you love them, though.
Not me.
Well, okay. You're an old school. You need an NKOTB kind of move.
Yes, I need, if you're going to be a boy band, I expect you to dance. Do some synchronized dance moves.
Okay.
And I don't think that's too much to ask.
It's part of the charm was like Harry Styles falling on stage a lot. I think anyway.
Didn't do it for me.
Well, okay. I'm glad you have BTS.
They really do it for me.
How many members are there in BTS? Seven or eight?
But who else are you into right now?
Okay. Let's talk about music I feel too old for. I don't, but I feel like I'm way behind everybody else on getting on this bandwagon.
Mm.
I have finally buckled myself in to the Ariana Grande bandwagon. I resisted for a long time. And then I liked every song I was hearing on the radio. Mm-hmm, and then I started listening to the Thank You Next album.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started playing the song Ghostin' on repeat, which drove my family nuts. And then I discovered that she recently released this song Monopoly. Mm-hmm. Have you heard it?
No, okay. I haven't heard it.
I've played it approximately 1,700 times. And I will tell you, it has swear words in it, like a lot. And I wanted to listen to it so bad with my kids in the car that I would just shout over the swear words so they would maybe not hear them.
Oh.
Even though, like, I don't try to hide language from my kids, I still was like, okay, well, I think, am I allowed to listen to this song? It's great. She released it with her best friend who's a songwriter. It's just a fucking bop.
Great. Story.
So I'm Monopoly excited. By Ariana Grande. It's just a single that came out.
Can't wait to hear it.
And then also just the whole Thank You Next album is
yes
a delight. And I also want to go see Ariana Grande in concert. I'm just going to lay that all out there. Yeah. I'm
her fans are intense.
I'm ready to become one.
Okay. You're going to have to get some cat ears.
You know, that's fine. I can find those at a Claire's. I'm fully now a huge Ariana Grande stan. I like what she has put out into the world, also just about her life experiences. Oh, she doesn't take shit. She bought her friend best friend's engagement rings from Tiffany's and then wrote a song about it. She's just great.
I'm excited for this new chapter in your life.
Do you like any of her songs?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think we need to buy each other Tiffany rings, but.
No, probably not.
I don't think also we can afford to buy each other Tiffany rings.
That too. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you? Have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable.
No.
With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there. Especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Our guest today is LaTanya Yvette. LaTanya, welcome to Forever 35.
Thank you for having me.
We're thrilled you're here. I'm holding your beautiful book in my hands. So before we talk all about it, let's give you a little introduction for our audience. LaTanya is a stylist and lifestyle blogger, and her eponymous blog covers motherhood, style, and beauty. She just released her first book, Woman of Color, where she shares stories of her experience growing up as a young woman of color in Brooklyn. And she currently lives in Brooklyn with her two children, River and Oak. Before we talk more about your book, can you just kind of tell us a little bit about how you got started as a writer and stylist and blogger and about your website that then led to this beautiful book?
Yeah. So it's funny. Like I spent a lot of my mom was a writer. So I spent a lot of my childhood actually writing in journals all the time. That was something I did. I didn't really talk much, but I wrote a lot, and to the point that I would always have notebooks of curved paper, and I still have a lump on my middle finger from the pressing on the number two pencil too hard. the bump from
I still have callus.
Callus. Yeah, I still have it. It's not as big as it used to be, but it definitely is still there. So I spent a lot of my childhood just writing stories and just wanting to be a writer. And I mean, that kind of took me into college, and I was in college writing in literature, but I was also freelancing as a stylist and had a newborn baby. And I ended up dropping out of college after magazines started dropping. It was 2011, and there was just magazines going out of business, and I just didn't know why I was still in college for writing and literature if there was no job on the other side of it. And I think that for me it was so clear because I had a young child, and so not knowing if there's a job on the other side, and being a young child, but also we were a young family. I was 21 at the time. It just felt like it wasn't the right decision for me. And the blog came about, from me kind of having this position as a stylist, but also having this relationship to writing, but also this relationship to being a new mother. And then, the neighborhood that I lived in, it was Bushwick, and it was Bushwick, Brooklyn, and it was beautiful and amazing. But again, there were a lot of older, mostly white mothers who were, 15, 20 years older than me. And I was really disconnected from what my experience of motherhood, but also creativity, should be, right? Because I loved my daughter, and I loved being able to be with her, because both of our careers, my ex and my careers, allowed for me to be with her. We were like both freelance and take turns. We were still broke, by the way, but
you could hang out with your kid.
We figured, yeah, we hung, you know, I got to hang out with my kid, but there were no women who looked like me, and there were no mothers who kind of were like, happened to get pregnant, you know, and I didn't plan on this, but I love this, but also, like, I kind of want to figure out what I'm doing with work. And so the blog kind of came out of that, and it's been now, I think River was 1.5, and now she's 8.5 now. So it's been a while, and it's changed so much over the last few years, because obviously so much has happened, but it's weird because it's been mostly all, you know, it's been all of my 20s. I'm 29. I'll be 30 this July. So, you know, the blog kind of came out of an experience, like just trying to connect with other mothers like myself, but also at the same time, and this is what I said to someone recently, it was because I needed a space that kind of combined all these worlds that all felt sort of, you know, disjointed or not, you know, they just weren't sort of molding together. And the blog was able to provide that for me.
And what was
and then the book came. Yeah, and then, after and a few then, years.
And here's a new baby, this book.
Did, yeah.
And you've been a huge advocate for therapy and caring for your mental
gosh,
health.
Yes.
And you talk about it in the book. So how has therapy changed your life and kind of become part of your self-care routine?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, and that's part of like when I talk about like, you know, people who act like me, look like me or whatever, is because, you know, I grew up where like we didn't go to therapy, right? Like, ooh, therapy, who's that? Like, we don't do that. You know what I mean? And so for me, going to therapy was about like really addressing things in my childhood and young adulthood that like I needed to address. And because I had such a small gap in, you know, being a teenager or whatever, and then being a mother, everything kind of combined and was super overwhelming at times, but also wonderful. But therapy is just, it's just a place where I can truly like ground myself, but also talk to someone, which sounds so simple, but like I'm the kind of person who I bury a lot of stuff. And so it forces me to not bury things. And so for me, it allows me also to have to keep up communication with my kids, which it's funny to sort of see that, like, if I'm talking to someone, right, then I can then have room to talk to my children. And that's really, and communication is such a huge part of my parenting. It's why I feel comfortable, you know, putting the book out or whatever it was, because we communicate. We have such a strong relationship when it comes to communication. And but that only is, you know, part of it, because I go to therapy and I talk. And for someone like me, and this goes for anyone, if you have so many things happen in life, you know, or like a past, or like baby loss, or another baby, or a marriage, or, you know, whatever it is that happens, and you don't get to talk about those things and share that with someone truthfully, like without judgment, and really get some feedback, or just if it's just literally to go in an office and just lay it out, it can, I feel like it, there's more harm in that, like if you just don't do it. And so, you know, therapy is just, it allows me to truly live, it allows me to create, it allows me to be the mother that I am, you know, and it allows me to also make room for other women, which is really important to me as well.
I love like just your talk about fashion throughout the book and finding freedom in fashion, especially as a kid. I just loved hearing all your experiences from childhood. And then you give these like wonderful outfit examples, which I was very excited about.
Yeah, a lot of fashion inspo in this book.
And you know, that fashion, you know, not just specifically for new mothers or women, but like it can be hard to find joy in fashion.
100%.
How do you kind of suggest a person who doesn't have a stylist background, who maybe experiences fashion, you know, as a layperson, how can they begin to kind of like tap into what brings them joy when getting dressed?
I think like at anything, it's a time thing. You know, I feel like I often hear women, you know, saying, they don't enjoy it, but it's because they don't spend time with it, you know? And so not that we have a bunch of time to sort of shell out, but one of the things I like doing is I like to tell other women to do is, like, you know, you put your kids to sleep or your baby to sleep, and you know you're going to have to wake up at 6 a.m. and make breakfast and then go to an appointment. But, like, if you look at your closet and you take out your clothes and you assess what you have, there's more room for you to have a relationship with what you're wearing, right, instead of waking up and putting it just something on. So I think it starts with, like, having a sort of a relationship to what you're wearing, you know, and also assessing, like, why you're wearing what you're wearing. Like, some people like to be minimalist, and they have a relationship to why they are minimalist, and I completely respect that. And so, like, if you're not a minimalist, but you have clothes, but you're just not developing a relationship with what you're wearing every day, you know, not every day, but most days, then that's something to do. And not that we have a lot of time, but I think it's worth it, because I do think there is a level of joy and freedom when you love the way that you dress most days, especially when you have so much going on.
Yeah, that's, I find it very difficult, but I was inspired. But I was very inspired by, especially the red vintage pants that you have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they cost like $5 or something?
They cost like $5. Yeah. It was like a flea market. And, you know, with that stuff too, like in that, like, I'm wearing a white t-shirt, right? And like sneakers, I think. And it's like everything in a denim jacket. It's like everything that I'm wearing actually took no real thought, but like I just, like, you know, it didn't take any real, not thought, but like effort, right? It didn't push me too far. It was actually super easy to pull together, and it was, you know, composed of like a basic white shirt and a denim jacket and sneakers, but I have a pair of red pants that are really inexpensive. But like I usually, when I wear my red pants, like I'll look at the weather, and the night before I'm like, okay, well, I need to do this tomorrow and the weather is like this. And so I actually want to spend time in, like, I want to feel good while I'm kind of running around, you know? And to me, wearing a bright, you know, pair of red pants in Brooklyn, like, makes me feel good. And like, that could be a black dress for some, or, you know, a yellow dress for someone else. But those are red pants or red skirt for me, you know? And so I really think it's important to, like, just take a little bit of time to, like, sort of have a tiny bit of a relationship with your stuff.
I don't have that at all. I'm thinking about that. Like, I encourage my kids to plan their outfits the night before, but I don't think I ever plan my
outfits. You
don't
plan yourself.
No, I do what you just said, like, just wander into the closet like 10 minutes before I have to leave and try to figure it out.
It's like,
that's really good advice.
It really changes your, like, relationship to what you're wearing. It's kind of, you know, like, I think about, like, my kids who have so much confidence in their clothes, right? And like, my son loves this, like, mini Rodini, like, snake track jacket, and he wears it every single day, but he will take it out and, like, I'm wearing this jacket, and like, he feels so confident wearing that. Yeah. It's really ridiculous because he's so in love with it, but like, he feels like himself, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we kind of sometimes, it's easy to lose that when you include work and children and bills and, you know, bad days and with health or whatever it is that we're going through. But I think you then realize that, like, if it's this easy to include a bit of joy and self-confidence in my everyday, a lot of those things that you kind of go through in one day, you know, I don't know, it just feels a little bit easier. I mean, I guess it's kind of like people who, it's probably different, but it may be like people who like work out every morning for like 20 minutes or whatever. It's like, it's just developing a relationship with it. But I'm not one of those people who work out every morning for 20 minutes. So I'm not entirely sure if it's the same thing.
Who knows what that's like?
Yeah.
Because we're not either.
No, not at all.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Oh. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. And you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I wanted to ask you about you have these really great kind of like five rules or kind of five list things throughout the book, this beautiful thread throughout the book. And one of them is for continuing to heal from loss. And we get a lot of listeners who either write in or call in and they're dealing with, you know, there's a lot of loss and grief when it comes to actual death or especially loss of relationships, friendships, marriages. I would love to hear just kind of what your experiences have been and how you've learn to handle grief in your own life.
Yeah. I mean, I say in the book that like, you know, a lot of my childhood and young adulthood has been full of grief and, you know, losing people. And it's really, it's hard when it becomes sort of a part of your life and that's where therapy comes in. You know, you're like, oh, wait, it actually isn't sort of super normal to be afraid that you're going to get a phone call that someone has passed away, you know, and part of that is from dealing with it as at a pretty young age and kind of having it happen again and again. And so I think it's really important for people to acknowledge it. Like the amount of times I speak to women who have had, I had like a late term, loss between my two children, and I've talked to other women about stuff like this, and the amount of times that women like don't think it's okay to grieve or to be present in the loss, whatever it is so common. We just think we got to get up, continue on, keep on going, and I definitely think that there's a time and a place for that, you know, but I think it's really important to try to allow yourself whatever, you know, whatever is happening with you emotionally and really experience what that loss and what, you know, the grieving process. And I don't know. I think that we're told to just get up and get over things too often. And it's kind of impossible. It's impossible, you know, because these things carry, you know, they're with us. They shape who we are. I know that, like, one of the biggest things for me is I have an awareness of how fragile life is, right? And so that awareness is tied into, like, how I treat my children, how I keep my house, how I, you know, build friendships. And I think it's also good to turn grief over in some way to art or something like that, you know, but at the same time, you need to, like, let yourself be in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is something that often gets so overlooked is, like, mm-hmm. we're so focused on moving on, right? Mm-hmm. That we don't allow ourselves to just sit with our grief.
Yeah.
And that's so important.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best things that my therapist, you know, has said to me is that there, you know, there's, I forget what it was about, but it's just like, it's okay not to be over it. Like, you don't need to yeah. be over it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I was just like, I want to be over it. I want to, like, get in. It's like, no, you don't have to be, you know? And allowing yourself not to be over something, I think, is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
So I think it's really important to, like, you know, just let women feel that they can feel. And not being normal after something is, like, totally fine. It's totally fine.
How has it been for you transitioning with your marriage ending? What has that been like for you, especially because you are very young? I feel like a lot of times yeah. most of the people who, similarly to having a kid young, maybe going through relationship changes mm-hmm. might be a bit older as well. Have you found a community yeah. in that space?
For me, you know, I am just really honest with friends, and I think that developing friendships that you can, like, that are true and that can hold that transition is really important. I think a lot of women, we don't have friendships that can hold that, you know, and I always say hold that because there are certain friends that you tell certain things to, right? And then there is, like, or you don't tell things to at all. And so I think it's important to have friends that can hold that space. And so for me, I just realized and I saw what friends could hold that part of me. And that was really important and a really important lesson to learn so early on. It's like, okay, these are those friends and this is what that is. And this is why I'm drawn to that person. So I think it's just really important to, like, to feel out your relationships and to also just have people, allow people to show up for you and allow them to hold space for you and hold space for that transition or that loss or whatever that may be for you.
There's a part in the introduction of your book where you talk mm-hmm. about beauty as a form of resistance and survival. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit more, because I do feel like culturally we're told that, you know, focusing on beauty is frivolous, it's meaningless, it's yeah. silly. And actually what I feel like you really set out, you really, you know, put forth in your book is that, no, it is a really important part of our survival and day-to-day existence and finding yeah. joy and meaning. And so I would love to just get more of your perspective on that.
Yeah. And for me, you know, so, like, even before that, I talk about, like, you know, all of these sort of sad things that happen, you know, losing my grandmother or like abuse or whatever. But then I quickly, you know, and I'm like, but it's, you know, quickly followed up with, like, a gain, which is, you know, this or that. And but part of seeing beauty, right, is actually, it's also just it's sort of funny because it's not actually tangible. It's not like putting on makeup, you know what I mean? And, like, oh, I feel beautiful, but it's actually, like, seeing what's beautiful, even in these trying times, or even in this, like, heartbreaking moment, like, you know, whatever it is, like, anytime, like, someone, like, has came to me, like, oh, like, I'm, you know, my husband and I are divorcing or separating. I'm like, you have to find what is loving about that. and hold on to that, right? And that's really important. Those are the lessons I want to sort of instill in my children. Those are the lessons I like, that's what I kind of live by. And the beauty part is just about finding what's beautiful despite, right, everything that may seem messy and heartbreaking and, you know, and heavy. And so like, you know, grieving or loss, like that, let yourself feel that, but also equally, like, there is so much beauty in allowing that to happen. And, you know, and so it's not so much a tangible, like, thing like, oh, these flowers are beautiful or whatever. It's like, oh, you know what? I lost my grandmother, but I remember her, like, you know, her wallpaper, or I took this away, or I actually now love planting flowers because that was something that she loved to do. And that to me was like sort of the beautiful experience that I, you know, sort of that has like carried with me as an adult. And so beauty as a form of resistance and survival is literally just using it to live, right? And using and kind of seeing the beauty in tough situations or in, you know, deeply sad situations. And it's not as tangible.
I mean, that is beautiful.
I know, I was gonna say the same thing. We do want to ask you about your skincare routine, because we talk a lot about skincare and products on this podcast, and you
go through it in your book
step by step. Name every product.
It was, thank you so much.
Yes, it was so satisfying to just read like exactly what you're using. So obviously you don't have to like name every product that you use because it's all here in your beautiful book, but maybe just one holy grail product or something that you've kind of learned that
I'm like loving.
Yeah. I mean, or we could take an hour and go through every product.
Or maybe something that's not in your book. Maybe something you've discovered since writing your book.
Yeah. So recently, I have been using, which is crazy, and I have two kittens, and so they're just like now licking us all over. But I've been using almond oil, which like sounds so simple, but like I don't know what has happened, but like I have been so obsessed with using almond oil on my face after, like, in the morning. And I think it's because it kind of goes into my skin way more than, which I love coconut oil. And I think I've mentioned it before, but, like, I think the almond oil from my skin has, like, it kind of gets in there. And then it makes me look super refreshed when I'm like taking the kids to school and I'm like, woohoo, it's the morning, 7 a.m. I'm fine.
The secret's the oil.
Yeah.
The secret. Yeah. I don't. And it's clean and it's, you know, I really am super obsessed with it. But I also, I mean, this may be late. I'm like also obsessed with like Fenty bronzer. I think it's called the cinnamon. It's not cinnamon. It's like a. It's cinnamon, but it's spelled a weird way. And I've been using it on my eyelids and also on my cheekbones. And it has been also like that and that. And like, I just look like I just got off like a boat. I'm like,
ooh,
totally joking with people. Like, it just gives me like a little, you just came off of, you know, like an island vibe.
Yeah. Glowy.
Which is not real.
Yeah.
Rihanna has it figured out.
So that's what I've been, you know, loving. Yeah. I and just, it's super easy.
I just got a beautiful Fenty gloss, lip gloss. It's like fantastic.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's my
products
first.
Products are so good.
Who gave that to you, Kate?
You did, Dory. Thank you. My beautiful co-host gave it to me. But I'm excited to get back into shiny lip gloss. I feel like it's starting to come back a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's totally back. It's totally back. I'm obsessed with it. Like that and like... just a shiny face. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just totally into it.
It's glowy.
It's glowiness.
It's glowy. It's glowy. I'm like, listen, I did not sleep like last night at the hall, but I look like, you know, I just got off the beach and it's totally fine. I don't know how I did it.
Well, LaTanya, this has been such a joy to get to talk to you. Your book is Woman of Color. You can get it anywhere and everywhere, but where else can our listeners find you online?
So I blog mostly every day, except for this week because it's been crazy, at LaTanyaYvette.com. And it's mostly just me. And I'm also on Instagram, LaTanyaYvette. So Super Latanya Vet, Latanya Vet.
Very easy.
Very
you can do
easy.
It.
Thank you, Latanya.
This has been so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking
Thank
the time.
Thank you for having me.
So how did having patience as you purge go?
I'm still purging.
Okay.
But I am trying to be pretty chill about it.
Okay.
And just
Which
like,
is hard.
Oh, it's so hard. I'm so impatient.
Yeah, because like once you start, you want it to just be done.
Yes. You want to like snap your fingers and have everything transformed.
Yes.
I also find once I start purging one room or section, I then need the whole house like reorganized.
Yes.
So it's I'm just trying to remember it's a marathon, not a sprint, shall
yes,
we say?
Yes. Yes.
And it's going well.
Well, and you know, as we mentioned briefly last week, we recorded in your newly purged office.
Holy moly.
Which is looking amazing. So, you know, give yourself a little pat on the back.
Thank
Kate.
You. I donated a ton of books and a ton of items, and I cleaned up so many cobwebs.
That's awesome.
I mean, truly, the place had not been touched in 5 years.
Oh, that's so great.
How about you? How was kind of wrapping things up before old baby boy arrives?
Good. You know, as I mentioned, we went to the movies, mm-hmm. which like we almost never do. So it was like fun to do that.
Good, good.
Went out to dinner, you know, just trying to do a few things.
Do a few things as a couple.
Yeah.
Just the two of you.
Exactly.
Before the third arrives.
What's going on this week?
Well, you know, my anger issues kind of seem to be a recurring theme here in the intention zone. So along with like the road rage, I did yell at someone today. I'm trying just to check my like angry response to things.
It's so funny because I see you as such a calm person.
That's right. That's what the whole punchline is, that I actually have deep rooted anger issues.
Okay.
Boy.
So what's your intention to deal with them?
Literally to take 3 breaths. That's it. Like just yep. like stay calm. Try to have a moment before I react.
Yes.
So not have the like combustible like blah.
Yeah.
But just like
taking okay. a beat.
Yes. Like whether it's responding to an idiot driver. I should say that in a nicer way, but okay, I'm working on it. Or my children or an email or yeah. that, you know, anything. Just like I'm gonna take a beat. Like it doesn't, I don't have to respond in anger. I can like move forward from that emotion.
Yes.
Not that I don't want to like not validate anger.
Right.
Because I think it is a valid emotion, but sometimes I think it's what I might fall back a little bit. So.
But yeah, you're right. That reaction time is tough to.
It's kind of bonkers.
Yeah.
Like there's no thinking that goes on yeah, in that reaction time for me.
I'm there with
you.
I'm right there with you.
How about you? Your intention this week is a real easy one.
It just says baby ? I mean, you know, we are, as we've said a few times, we're recording stuff ahead of time because this baby is coming, and so we are recording this episode 2.5 weeks in advance, almost 3 weeks in advance,
something like that.
3 weeks in advance. Yeah. So as I record this, as I say these words, the baby's not here.
Yes. And I should say we don't normally record with that much
Correct.
Time ahead.
But because of the baby, we are recording quite far in advance. Now, if the baby's still not here on May 9th, something is wrong. So the baby should be here and I
so
will
crazy.
Be in full on baby mode. That's my intention. That's it.
Your intention is just to have a baby. That's
my
perfect.
Intention is
I think
to
that's a great intention.
Have a baby and keep a baby alive.
You're going to do it. Well,
on that note,
we have a voicemail number. It's 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
You may join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And the password is serums.
And of course, if you like the show, we always appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts. Appreciate you telling a friend and appreciate a shout out on social medias. Sorry, that still stops
there
you after all
go
this time.
Again. If we mention any prods, they're on our website, Forever 35 Pod. Two can play at this game.
Okay.
Forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast and on Twitter at Forever 35 Pod.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dori Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio, and Lane Hammer is our assistant.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.